Clearly, the controversy surrounding the deaths of those four U.S. soldiers in Niger isn't going away, and neither is the dispute between President Trump and Frederica Wilson, a lawmaker who represents the district where one of the soldiers, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, lived. And that dispute got complicated last Friday when White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders responded to a question from CBS reporter Chip Reed. Reed was taking issue with retired General John Kelly's assertion that Representative Wilson took credit for securing federal funding for a project in her district. Here's Sanders.
The money was
if you want to go after General Kelly, that's up to you. But I think that, if you want to get into a debate with a four-star Marine general, I think that that's something highly inappropriate.
So is it inappropriate to question a general? For some thoughts on that, we turn to historian Andrew Basevich. He was a career officer in the U.S. Army, and he calls Sanders' statement about questioning a general being inappropriate troubling.
It fails to acknowledge that Kelly, first of all, is no longer an active duty officer, but more importantly, I think, has opted to become a political figure. Generally speaking, we like to think that the military is apolitical and nonpartisan, but that description does not apply to the person who is the White House chief of staff.
And what surprises you most about this? Just kind of give us a sense of how big a change this is, at least to your ears.
None of it surprises me because I think it's been a long time coming. There is, I think, widely acknowledged today, a significant gap between the American military and American society. It's a gap that emerged as an unanticipated consequence of moving to the all-volunteer army. But related to that gap, I think, has been a tendency to elevate the status of the military generally, and in particular the status of very senior officers, and put them on some sort of a pedestal as if they are above the rest of us mere citizens. And I think that's what we heard the president's press secretary articulate.
Have you seen this distance between civilians and military in this country exploited in such a way or to a lesser degree in previous administrations?
It certainly existed in earlier administrations, but it's been exacerbated in the present administration. And I think it's been exacerbated in part because of President Trump's unexpected elevation of at least three very senior military officers to policy positions. We've now got Kelly and Mattis and McMaster, who occupy in one way or another policy-making positions.
And yet we're being told that they are now the adults in the room.
I think that's actually a troubling claim. Let me be clear. I think that Kelly, Mattis, and McMaster, all three of them, are intelligent men. I'm sure that they are patriotic, but they also show signs of being exceedingly limited in their intellectual horizons. We have managed to embroil ourselves in a series of foreign policy crises ranging everywhere from the Middle East to North Korea that demand fresh thinking. And we have a president who doesn't do much thinking at all, and he has surrounded himself with a group of people who tend to believe that if a reliance on military force hasn't produced the intended outcome, then the solution is to increase the reliance on military force.
So Sarah Huckabee Sanders' defense of John Kelly came after John Kelly came to the defense of Donald Trump for that conversation in which he was telling a military widow, Maisha Johnson, about her lost husband, LaDavid Johnson, in Niger. I just would like to know what you think is really at stake in this back and forth between Trump and Ms. Johnson. I mean, it's turned into a conversation about privacy, but what do you think it's really about?
Well, I think what it should be about is, why do we have U.S. forces in Niger? Who sent them there? How does the U.S. military presence in Niger relate to some plausible, larger strategy? I mean, as far as I can tell, it's simply a further expansion of U.S. military activities in sub-Saharan Africa, which have generally gone unnoticed by the American public, and that continues to grow like Topsy, regardless of the fact that there's very little evidence that it's achieving anything.
The Washington Post had quoted a White House official saying, "The president's conversations with the families of American heroes who have made the ultimate sacrifice are private." The elements of that sort of phone call are familiar, sadly familiar to you. Some of our listeners will recall that your own son, an Army lieutenant, was killed in Iraq in 2007. is a president on solid ground if he claims conversations with bereaved families are private?
Well, my personal opinion would be that, yes, they should be considered private. But I must say, no president ever called me and my family at that particular moment. And I would also say that doesn't bother me. I mean, I didn't need to hear from the president of the United States. And had I heard from the president of the United States, it would not in any way have lessened the grief that I was feeling at that time. But at the end of the day, it ought to be the choice of the family that's involved. And I do think that to some degree, what we've allowed to happen here is that the issues that deserve public attention, and that's the trajectory of U.S. military involvement in Africa, that ends up getting shoved aside by the controversy related to the president's phone call. Now, the president brings these problems on himself because we have never had a president whose mastery of the English language is so defective, who is so unable to express himself clearly. And so he creates his own problems, and this is a very good example of that.
At the end of his briefing to the press on Thursday, General Kelly said that he would take questions only from people present who had a personal connection to a fallen soldier. So, sadly, you would have been granted the question. What would yours have been for General Kelly?
I would have wanted General Kelly to explain how the group that killed the American soldiers in Niger posed a threat to the United States of America of such magnitude that it would have led to the loss of our troops.
Historian Andrew Basevich, a career officer in the U.S. Army. His most recent book is America's War for the Greater Middle East. Thanks very much for being on the show again.
Thank you.